It's fun. It's wild. It's Dad's Gone Crypto.
Welcome, everybody, to Dad's Gone Crypto. I hope you guys have been having a great week. We sure have been very, very busy with a whole bunch of stuff, but exciting nonetheless. We've got an interesting topic today, Bitcoin ordinals, right? So it's an NFT, but it's an NFT with a twist. And Bitcoin and NFTs, like, say what? Exactly. When we started researching a bit about it, it was like, this is very interesting. Something that thought could not be possible is now possible. And we're going to discuss what it's about and if it's possibly a good degen play to get involved in either creating or investing in this early, basically, time. But before we get there, Ryan, how's your week been?
Oh, good. Busy as usual. Been just plugging away at about 1,000 different things. So I'm going to say this. I'm ready for the weekend, I think.
Listen, I blinked twice and it felt like the weekend just yesterday. And tomorrow's the end of the week. It's like, right. Whoa, where's this time gone? It feels like this train is just getting faster.
I know. I got to say. I know. My mom always used to say that as you get older, the time starts to go faster. And I always thought she was insane. But I'll tell you what, the older I get, the faster time seems to go. So
I think we'll take a lesson out of Arnold Schwarzenegger's Netflix series. And he says, just keep moving, keep being busy, and opportunities will come. You know, we could be sitting on couches, you know, messing our lives away, you know, creating, you know, havoc with our in-laws and causing cuck with our friends and family, and or we could be creating and building and enjoying the space that we're in, you know. So we choose to build, we choose to create, and we choose to be busy, right? All right, let's get let's get straight into it. What are Bitcoin ordinals, Ryan?
Well, basically, so I mean, it's basically an NFT on Bitcoin, right? I mean, it's very different from Ethereum NFTs or anything else that we've had in the past. Basically, because it's not a token, it's an inscription on the blockchain itself. So Bitcoin's broken down into 100 million pieces, each Bitcoin. So, and they're called Satoshi. So named after Satoshi Nakamoto, the, you know, creator of Bitcoin. So each of those Satoshis is, you know, basically a piece of the blockchain, of the Bitcoin blockchain. And in what ordinals are, it's actually an inscription on a Satoshi. So each Bitcoin can have 100 million ordinals on it, right? And they're called ordinals because basically it's a numbering system for Satoshis. So a Bitcoin, you know, has 100 million Satoshis, that are normally just they aren't in any order whatsoever. It's just 100 million of them, 100 million pieces of the pie. But an ordinal is actually a way of numbering the Satoshis. And with that particular number, you can inscribe, you know, unique pieces of information.
So Bitcoin ordinals were brought about because the Bitcoin community, the maxis, you know, they were chatting about, you know, should NFTs be allowed on Bitcoin? You know, like the purists say it's just used for financial transactions and it should only be used for financial transactions. Then the other Bitcoin maxis are saying, well, let's maybe add some data to it. And they say, no, you can't add some data to it. Data, you can put NFTs or whatever on it. And so there's two factions that were brought about. And then guys just basically said, well, let's try create, you know, NFTs. So with the latest upgrades, they kind of allowed NFTs to now be basically put onto the blockchain. So the biggest fear, I think, is that if NFTs are allowed onto the blockchain and it's inscribed to a Satoshi and it gets very congested, they're worried that the transactional fees are going to be very high. The processing fees are going to be very slow. And like Ethereum and gas, you know, when when it's a bull market and NFT projects are going and people are, yes, it's madness and it's expensive. So they worry that this is going to go down the same route. But in having said that, if Bitcoin becomes the world's reserve currency, right, it needs a little bit more than just financial transactions. It needs data. It needs to have this understanding of this is what this money is. This is what it was for. You can subscribe it to that Satoshi or to that transaction. So that's what they're trying to say is that, you know, maybe if it does become the world's reserve, you need the capabilities of the expansion into that realm.
Yeah, I've heard the argument too that, you know, some are arguing that it'll make Bitcoin transactions too expensive in order to use for, you know, regular financial purchases. And then others are arguing though that because mining rewards at every halving, the mining rewards get cut and get cut and get cut. So network fees are what's going to reward miners. So I've heard arguments both ways that, you know, it could be good or it could be bad for Bitcoin. So I guess that that remains to be seen, but they're definitely arguing quite a bit about
it. And Ryan, tell me, how was this made possible? Obviously, we did a bit of research in the background there. How did they wake up one day and get this right?
Well, so I think the real thing is it's basically the way Bitcoin was created. And Bitcoin was created so you could inscribe data, but it was only a tiny, tiny, tiny bit of data. It was 80 bytes basically of data for messages that could be encoded onto the blockchain. So that would make it absolutely impossible to do, you know, any type of like NFT on the blockchain. But with the upgrades over the years, Bitcoin went through Taproot and SegWit upgrades. With those upgrades, it allowed you to have more data per inscription. So what that allowed is you to store up to 4 megabytes of data. So that allowed ordinals basically to start. You know, they were able to actually start inscribing, you know, small pictures and that kind of thing. And we'll show some examples later. Now moving forward, so 4 megabyte has been the limit for, you know, a number of years now. But moving forward, there is a new technology that's out there, and they're basically, it's called recursive inscriptions, and are basically allowing for more than that 4 megabyte limit. And they're also allowing ordinals to have interaction with each other. So before, you could only have, you know, an ordinal was basically just that. It's just that one number of that one Satoshi. What this recursive inscriptions, this new tech is doing, is allowing those to actually interact so that you can make collections that are actually tied to one another rather than just being its own sat. So it's pretty interesting stuff. And it looks like they're going to continue to build and continue to make new advancements in it, which, I mean, honestly, if you think about it, Bitcoin for the last, I mean, yeah, so they had some upgrades and this and that, but Bitcoin isn't really seen as like the big, you know, a big chain for development, right? I mean, it is what it is. It's Bitcoin. It was the beginning. And, you know, it's supposed to be a currency. But with these new advancements, you're starting to see people now actually looking at Bitcoin again as something to develop on. And it's actually, I think it's pretty interesting for the whole Bitcoin community.
Definitely new space. And that's why people are rushing towards this new thing in the crypto space. And, you know, where something is new and exciting, money flows. So I think during the bull market, we're going to see a lot of transactions happen in the ordinal space. But the way we can compare Bitcoin to an Ethereum NFT, we're just kind of keeping it isolated to those two for now, is that Bitcoin is still, the NFTs are still very primitive. Yes, this new technology has just come out, but it's experimental. They're still trying to figure out things. Ethereum NFTs, right, are basically you create a generative art piece, you create a 3D picture, you create a AI, and then you direct it to a directory, and then you place it on the blockchain, right? And then you put a smart contract in place, and that smart contract, you tell it what to do. You want to give this person royalties, you want to give this, and right now Bitcoin can't do that, right? Because you're subscribing onto the blockchain, it doesn't have those features of saying, well, every time, you know, someone buys this, Ryan gets a royalty off it. it doesn't work that way just yet. But as the technology grows, people will find solutions. Remember, up until, you know, earlier this month, they could only do, you know, 4 megabytes. Now, all of a sudden, they found a way to link everything together, which is exciting. And then you're going to find a layer on top of that that plays their platform of a royalty, which an exchange can do as well. So very exciting space, you know, that we're basically in from the Bitcoin point of view. Some of the differences that we can basically say, the difference between, you know, the Bitcoin ordinals and the NFTs, the non-fungible tokens, are basically on-chain minting. Ordinals are basically inscriptions which can allow for file data, audio, and video files up to the capacity that allows. That's why some of the art that you'll see, the original art, are pixelated, which simulates sort of the NFTs in the early days as well, you know, the what's it, the CryptoPunks and so forth.
Right.
All right. And then non-fungible tokens on Ethereum block feature references to files which can be hosted anywhere, which basically I said earlier.
Yeah, right. So that brings up the biggest difference is the difference between inscription and tokenization. So on Bitcoin, it's inscription, right? As we said before, you're just inscribing it to a sat on the blockchain. Where with NFTs, non-fungible tokens are, you know, actually tokens created via smart contract on Ethereum and many other blockchains. So that's the real big difference there. For the most part, I mean, there are on-chain NFTs, but for the most part, NFTs are stored on servers off the blockchain, and they are accessed via the smart contract. So it's a very different thing, and it's like we've been saying, it's kind of interesting, it's kind of cool, and I guess depending on which side of you know, Bitcoin maxis you are, you know, yeah, I'm sure you have an opinion either way.
All right, so smart contract functionality. So Bitcoin also, because it's in its primitive stages, you know, the user experience, the interface, the websites needed to basically, you know, buy and sell ordinals, it's very difficult. It can only be done on certain DEXs, decentralized exchanges. And then, of course, you need the wallets as well to store the ordinals. So there's a whole bit of infrastructure that needs to develop in order to expand the capabilities of this. But it's not to say that it's not happening. It is happening. There's a lot of marketplaces that are, you know, taking the pain points away. So it's coming. It's coming. Very exciting. So the important question is this an investment, right? When I started to research a little bit about it and I heard it on a podcast, I'm like, wait a minute. This could be something, you know, alpha for our community. But of course, you got to do your own homework. There's a lot. And we've done some basic research in it and we bring it to you as well. But there's a lot that you need to delve into. But just based on previous projects, previous exchanges, previous blockchains, do you think it's a good idea, Ryan?
I'm on the fence still a little bit, but I like it. You know, I think it's interesting, and I think anything new for Bitcoin is pretty cool. I see both sides of it, and I see where it could definitely be a problem. If, you know, if it's clogging up Bitcoin, how are we going to use Bitcoin as, you know, as a world currency, right? How are we going to really get to where we want to be, where everybody can use Bitcoin as a currency? And I'm sure there's a million ways to solve these problems. So to be honest, I'm not all that worried about it at this point, but is it a good investment? I mean, very well could be. Why don't we go out and look at a few of the, you know, some of the original ordinal collections, yeah, and let's just see what their prices are.
But I think before we get there, Ryan, as well, just think about all the first collections in every blockchain, right? They all feature as some of the best and greatest, well, I won't say the greatest art, but it's the first OGs, the original GOAT collection, right? So you're in a space now where you have an opportunity to either create and put on the blockchain or to buy. They are a little expensive. I was looking at some prices, 1 to 2 to 3 to 6 Bitcoin. I'm like, what? Like, yo, all right, we shall create because Bitcoins are too expensive. But think about it in this way, right? We got a strange feeling, if we take Michael Saylor's word for it, the Bitcoin is going to $1 million, right? So imagine you created an original art piece, right? It can be one piece of art or a collection of art pieces in the early stages before it ramped up to $1 million, right? Just that's the opportunity. But, you know, like we say with NFTs, don't just throw something silly on there. Create something with meaning, create something with thought process behind it. If you want to create your community, create something that can change their lives too. You know, so if 100 people buy your art, you know, perhaps you can tie in future revenues for that, right? So it's, think about the bigger picture rather than just money grabbing now. But from my point of view, I think it's a good play. But there's a lot of nonsense out there already, so you got to kind of do your homework and figure out which ones are the ones that you can afford and you can get into slightly early, or what can I create?
Well, I'll tell you what. Let's go take a peek at some of these. Let me share my screen here. Let's take a look at one of the originals. It's a collection by Yuga Labs called 12fold. And this is basically one of the original. If you read here, it says 12fold is a limited edition experimental collection of 300 generative art pieces inscribed onto Satoshis on the Bitcoin blockchain. These pieces will represent a complete art project and will not have any other utility or interact with or be related to any previous ongoing or future Ethereum-based Yuga projects. So basically Yuga Labs put this out there, and this was one of the very first collections out here. And you can see it's basically just kind of a experimental collection. You could see it's a whole lot of shapes, basically bubbles in different shapes. And you can see what these things are selling for. I mean, look at this. 1.47 Bitcoin. That is
$50,000.
1.18 wow. Bitcoin. Right. 1.55, 1.97. So these are all in the 2 Bitcoin. So, I mean, you're looking at, you know, on Magic Eden here, the floor price being, you know, 1.18 Bitcoin for these things. So, yeah, I guess had you gotten into that right at the very beginning, that would have been quite an investment, quite a good investment. I mean, look at these things. Jeez, let's go down the list here. This one's listed at 10 Bitcoin. I have no idea if they're actually getting these prices for these, but that is, those are some crazy, crazy numbers. Let me go to another Magic Eden collection here, and we'll go to Ordinal Punks. So taking the original idea of the Crypto Punks, which was basically, you know, one of the original, old school NFT projects on the Ethereum blockchain, and putting it onto Bitcoin. So you can see here, 100 ordinal punks minted within the last 600 within the first 650 inscriptions on Bitcoin, paying homage to Larva Labs, Yuga Labs, CryptoPunks, and created with Punks Not Dead open source algorithm. So basically they created an entire collection here, that is basically mirroring the original crypto punks from the Ethereum blockchain. And again, look at the floor prices on this thing. I mean, this thing, 2.85 is the least expensive one here on Magic Eden. And if we scroll through here, I mean, well, these aren't even showing any listing prices, but I mean, so this one here, 7.5.
Should we buy it? 77 right. Bitcoin.
Right. And again, I mean, these are the originals. So, you know, these are all the OG ordinals. So, I mean, obviously they're going to fetch quite a higher price, but it's pretty cool to see, you know, that, I mean, they basically just created a whole new market.
You can see the total volume there, 21.9 Bitcoin. So there's a lot of trade that's been happening. So, yeah.
Right. Yeah, exactly. You can see there's only actually 10 listed out of that 100. So people are definitely hanging on to them. Let's go see one more collection here before we cut off. And that would be the Ordinal Loops. And again, this was one of the very first projects. This one is definitely not trading a whole lot on here. You've got total volume of 2 Bitcoin. Excuse me, and 14 owners. total supply of 14. However, I'll just read a little bit about it here. Ordinal Loops is a curated project of three chapters with distinctive but interconnected meta aimed at creating a unique Bitcoin ordinals community focused on the areas of creative capital, human rights, and public discourse. At the center of this burgeoning community are the 21 loops. They tell the story of the battle against fiat and Bitcoin's greatest heroes and feats. The first chapter, seven inscriptions, were within the first 1,000 ordinals ever inscribed. So again, these the very first ones, here's one of the first ones, there's the number four. These were among that first 1,000 ordinals ever created. So again, you know, listed at very high pricing. I mean, this one, the floor on that 6.5 Bitcoin. And then obviously these others are not even, they don't even have them listed with a price because, I think they believe these things are going to be worth, something incredible someday. So they're not even listing them. So pretty cool, interesting stuff, I'll say.
Well, just my mind's racing. Cause like, what can you create to put on there? That's something different, right? And that can be everlasting. So imagine if you were a DNA expert, right? And you have the DNA to create a seed that weathers all weather systems, right? And you take that code and you place it on an inscription on a Satoshi, right? Or a collection of plants or a collection of animals, the yeah. DNA code for humanity. And this can extend further on. It can never be erased, right? So, and you know, maybe in the future when you want that plant and it's extinct, well, you go buy the Satoshi that has the code to reproduce it. I don't know. It's food for thought. This is just obviously thinking right out of the box.
It's super interesting. Yeah. I mean, when you put it that way, it's super interesting to think about that because I mean, that's the main difference, right? That it's on the blockchain. It's immutable. It's forever. So, you know, comparing that to, you know, server-based NFTs on Ethereum or many other chains, you know, it's that level of permanence, yeah. I think, that makes the ordinals really
stand out.
And
if you think about, if you just so, don't think yeah, just too far, a few years ago, World War II, what did they do? All right, what did Hitler do? He literally raided all the art museums and he stole the art, right? And he destroyed the art and some of the art was lost. So It's the beauty of what you created due to humans, which they'll always fight, right? There'll always be wars. They'll always fight. They'll always, you know, it doesn't matter what you've created. I don't like you. I'm going to burn it, right? And this has happened all throughout history. So imagine if you had a digital version of that, what you created. Yes, this was my original piece, but here's my digital version. This identifies that this was the original copy of that, and it's on the blockchain. You know, you can send it into space, right? And on the next Falcon rocket launch, and put it on the moon. thinking about something. Right. And now we can do payloads. Right. Are you thinking what I'm thinking? Hey?
Yeah, absolutely. Literally, ordinals literally going to the moon. I love it.
Glad this show's not live. Don't you people steal our ideas? The first ordinals in space. There is our collection there, Ryan. All right. Anybody that'd like to join us in creating the ordinals to space collection? Has even got a nice ring to it. As if we don't have enough time, we've got between 1 a.m. Right. and 4 p. 1 a.m. and 4 a.m. to work on this. To the moon. anyways.
To the moon. Fantastic.
Yeah, guys. Anyway, so that kind of concludes our ordinals chat today, guys. If you know anything more about ordinals, please leave your comments down in the section. Let's have an engagement conversation. If you know some new technology that's come out that we haven't heard of, please share it, you know, and please join our Telegram group as well, where we can continue the conversation and chat about this and our new venture. but yeah, guys, all right. And now we're absolutely moving on to our Dad's Got Jokes section. Ryan smashed me last week. I lost a bit of brain power by repeating a joke. Blame it on either too much alcohol on the weekend or
pretty soon we're going to have to start keeping a list, right? We're going to be changing
browsers we download from. All right. The goal of this competition is try not to laugh. If you laugh, basically you've won and you have to have a sip of beer. All right. So Ryan, I am going first. I think I've got a good one. All right.
Excellent.
What does Jeff Bezos do before bed? He puts on his pajamas on. Come on, man. Pajamas on. Pajamas on. Pajama. Pajamas on right. Amazon. Pajamas on.
I like it. I like it.
Terrible. We need more guests. That would be awesome. Like right.
Yeah, we definitely need more guests. Next week, right. Next week maybe.
Gonna go find some guest stuff.
We'll get some professional comedians on here.
Probably roast us. All right.
All right. I've got one. So, do you know how Benjamin...
Stop. Is that Benjamin? Right, like ready? A banjo. All right.
All right, ready? Do you know how Benjamin Franklin felt when he discovered electricity? He felt shocked.
Oh. Oh,
that is terrible.
That was at the bottom of the barrel. You had to scrape that with a little scraper and fork to get it out. Phew. Yeah, you're fine for that. I think we both fine.
Yeah, those definitely were not top notch jokes this week.
But we'll try
to do better next week.
Oh, anyways. All right, guys. Have a fantastic weekend. And that's it from us. And don't forget to join us on Twitter as well at Dad's Gone Crypto. And we'll see you in the Telegram group. Have a great weekend. Ciao.
See you guys.
The material and information presented in this recording are for entertainment purposes only. Do not misconstrue what you hear as investment or trading advice. Always do your own research. The views, thoughts, and opinions expressed by the guests on this recording are their own and do not necessarily reflect those of Dad's Gone Crypto or its hosts.